Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a show that happens twice a week where 2 to 3 to 4 old guys talk about old games. It's Other Shit Monday, so anything that is not on IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo list is fair game. So today, by request of two gentlemen, we are talking about Rygar for the NES.
Who requested Rygar?
They're both here today.
oh man, that's a coincidence.
I know, it's crazy.
Just so happens we were in town.
So of many episodes fame, Sean Miller.
Hello. Hey, I don't get like an actual episode, it's just many.
Many.
Just many episodes.
Sean Miller of strip clubbing fame.
Strip clubbing fame, yes. I hope of you brought stripper stories fame.
Hope you brought a story, man.
You know I did.
And first time host, Jason Eisen, who is my boss, so I'm going to be really nice to him.
So I'm going to ask you a lot of uncomfortable questions. just a bunch of them.
This is going to be fun.
I told Nicole when we were gaming the other day, I was like, you know how Tyler asks guest hosts like just a lot of uncomfortable questions right on the spot? And she nodded. She was like, it's time to turn the tables.
So tell us, Jason, exactly how shitty of an employee is Tyler? Because I feel like he's a great friend, so he can't have both. He must be a shitty employee.
Is this the part where I talk about you guys? Or?
Yeah. That's what we're going to do all episode.
We're shitty employees, too.
What kind of employee is Rygar?
We can verify through you.
Well, I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And since Sean Miller will hopefully be bringing back his segment of strip club stories, I had to bring one of my own.
Good.
Oh. So, and you're part of this one, Dave.
Oh, great.
One of the first, like, I think when we were going to Murray State, the closest strip club was across the state line in Paris, Tennessee.
Right.
And that was the first strip club I ever went to, was the Foxy Lady.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. First of all, that wasn't the closest.
You're right.
There were two others that were closer. Club Erotica, which I've talked about one of my other stripper stories.
The trailer.
Which was two double-wide trailers pushed together, and they just cut the end off of it with a pole that was just attached to a base. It wasn't even like attached to the floor. You couldn't really swing on it that I could imagine. And then
was it like for tetherball?
Yeah, it's basically what it was. And then Galaxy Cabaret, which is...
I'd never been to that one.
Yeah, that was the one that was just across the state line. It went through several different names.
Was it probably the office at one point?
No.
Did they have an office-themed strip club?
I think they called it that. So where are you? I'm at the office.
That's perfect.
It was a girl's name, and I can't remember what it was originally, but then it became Galaxy Cabaret. So, yeah, I'm not going to let you get away with that kind of falsehood. No.
Okay,
Foxy Lady was not the closest.
Foxy Lady. Might have been the nicest one.
Oh, yeah, it was. And shining up the turd.
It's a low bar. But the second one I ever went to was Stephanie's Cabaret in Paducah. And I went there with Dave and Brandon of Axelay fame.
Was this when we went at Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the strip clubs in Western Kentucky, you don't go to look at hot girls. You go for a story because that's the best thing you're going to get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the only reason you go, but you're right. Don't go there expecting hot girls.
I guarantee you can get a lot worse walking into those places, too.
And then everyone's in town around Christmas Eve. So you get all your friends to go and you see the strippers who are really desperate for money and want to work on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And you always get a good story.
You do.
So the time we had went, because it was like the second time I'd ever went, I was still very bashful about being at a strip club. And me, you, and Brandon, and we go in, and like maybe he had just converted from being, Because they had just changed names. They were Regina's House of Dolls, and now they were Stephanie's Cabaret.
Yeah, you can't keep a strip club in Paducah. It's like they just rotate through women's names.
And then, because they were still like setting up everything, it was mostly like lawn chairs and shit inside.
Classy.
Yeah, I know. And it was the three of us sitting there, and one stripper kept coming up to me asking for a dance. You know, do you want a private dance? You want a private dance? No, I'm okay. No. Just give me a little while, blah, blah. Bullshit excuse. Uh-huh. And you and Brandon were like, oh, we need to go smoke.
Yeah, we needed a smoke break.
And I do not smoke. And I was like, okay, well, I'll wait for you guys.
It was funny because, like, I remember, like, walking out the main door and, like, looking back at you, and you looked like, you, by the way, we're, like, the only people in there.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm at the door, and I kind of turn around, and it's just emptiness, and then some busted strippers dancing. Yeah. Tyler just sitting there in the middle of the room, just, like, looking around.
So, and it was pretty late, so the one who's been bugging me finally comes up to me, and she's like, hey, come on, your friends are gone. No one else is here, blah, blah.
No one's here to make fun of you.
Yeah, so then I was like, I mean, it's not like she was like a particularly attractive stripper in any way. So then I'm just like, okay, fine. So she takes my money, takes me by the hand, leads me back to the VIP area, which was the saddest VIP area I've ever seen.
All the RC you can drink.
It was like something out of like Blair Witch House, because it's just like the tile floor, and then there are four of those plastic scoop chairs you see in elementary schools in each corner. That's it. So like she leads me over there, I sit in one of those, and clearly she is coming off like a long shift. Because most of the time, you know, they'll, like, put lotion and perfume on. Like, when her skin touches mine, she's just clammy.
Wow.
Like, she's just cold and clammy, and it's just rubbing all over me. And I'm just in this kid's elementary school chair, just sad. I wish if I... For the $40 I just spent, I could have bought like two seasons of Naruto on DVD.
I love that that's your...
That was my first thought.
It's not that I could have, you know, done virtually anything else.
I missed out on two seasons of anime. So then, yeah, you guys come back and neither of you get lab dances. We pretty promptly leave after that. And I still have her weird, funky sweat all over me.
Man, when we walked in, we thought it was so fucking funny that you were getting a lap dance from her. And I felt really bad because, like, I kind of felt responsible for you getting a lap dance because I told Brandon, I was like, we should not have left him alone. She was bothering you the whole time.
Too. Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, she was out for, like, you.
She saw I was the weak one of the pack, so she immediately tried to section me off.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. I like that story, Tyler. I could probably force a strip club-related story. I'm not gonna, though. I'm gonna tell a story about the night my sister graduated from high school, which was just recent. This was right around the same time that Meg was attacked by a velociraptor, mm-hmm. and you got a baby. Her graduation was at night, and once it was over, we didn't really want to go home. We wanted to do something, and there was a meteor shower. There was supposed to be a meteor shower that night. By the way, I've never, like, that's never meant anything to me, because I remember even being a kid and being like, oh, it's a meteor shower tonight, and I'd go outside and look up at the sky for hours and fucking nothing would happen. Or there'd be clouds, or there's always some kind of, like, bullshit excuse where, like, they come on the news and be like, oh, visibility's low, I don't know. So to this day, I don't think meteor showers are actual fucking real thing. So my mom says there's this great place, I know a great place we can go to watch it. There's no lights, and we'll be able to see the sky wonderfully. There is this, like, little river that goes right by their town, and on the middle of this river, there's this little island that you can access through this bridge. And it's under, like, some train tracks. It sounds really skeevy when I describe it, but it's really not. Like, during the day, it's really nice. So it's me, my sister, my mom, and my wife, Nikki. We roll up, and, like, we've brought this blanket, right? And we've got flashlights because it's fucking, like, pitch dark out there. Super, super dark. And so we park, and then we have to walk to the island. So we're walking, and I have no idea where I'm going, right? So I got the flashlight on, and I'm just sweeping it in all directions so I can see the ground, so I make sure I don't fucking walk right into the water. Mm. We make it to the island, and we're looking for a spot, and then like my flashlight just like happens to catch something, and I can't tell what the fuck it is. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And it's like this Alan Wake kind of moment where it's like, I need to keep this flashlight on this because I can't figure out what it is. And it starts moving. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck it is. And then it's like just this naked, this fat naked person is in the flashlight beam. And they're making this sound like... And like, it still doesn't register to me. Like, I'm like paralyzed. I'm like, I got the flashlight on this person. And like, they're not going from side to side. They're just like coming straight at me. And I'm like, I don't.
That's like some of the Dead Space. And
I still to this day don't know how I got there.
And then finally they get out of the beam. And then I see this other guy. Well, I don't know if they were both men. They might have been. I see this other guy with his hands between his hands. And at this point, I know what's going on. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to keep the flashlight on this guy. So we set up camp and we look. Of course, I don't see any fucking meteors. You know that doesn't happen. But while we're there, like, two more couples, like, come. And, like, it's funny because, like, they get there. We see their flashlights. And then we see their flashlight beams, like, just land on us. And then they just turn around and leave. So I found the hot spot to fuck when I'm visiting my parents.
Need to nail a good bro? You know, just the right spot.
Oh, that's awesome.
What's up, Miller?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
You got a strip club story?
I do. I'm glad I can finally come back and we can bring this. Because I didn't tell one last time.
Right.
I was kind of sad about that because I had to tell it. And I haven't been back in so long. I was starting to think you guys didn't like me anymore.
We love you, man.
Well, good. You should have me on more.
You've lived so far away.
Jake has been on more episodes than I have, and he lives 6 hours away. I mean, I appreciate the thought, but I'm calling bullshit.
Well, to be fair, Jacob, I actually don't know this because, like, Jacob doesn't talk to me about the show, but I feel like Jacob asks to be on more.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just ask more.
No, I'll just ask more. Well, because I got behind on the episodes after the Mega Man X2, I think we did with McElwain. I hadn't listened in a while because I started listening to some audiobooks. And I was catching up today, and it hit me. I'm like, John Turley is catching up on the number of episodes that I've done.
Yeah, he is. Like, yeah,
he just did a whole bunch right there.
He may have passed you.
I think he probably did. I was like, there for a while, I was keeping up pretty well with Josh and Jacob. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, where the hell did he come from?
Yeah, because he did three in a row.
Yeah, he can only hang it on Tuesdays. And that's usually when we record. So it's like, as long as you're here, you may as well record an episode.
Jump in. A stripper story. My sophomore year of college, a friend of mine who was a fraternity brother was getting married. No, I'm sorry. It was his birthday. It was like his 25th birthday. He was quite a bit older than us. And he decided what he wanted to do on his birthday was go on a whirlwind tour of all the strip clubs, basically between Paducah and Jackson, Tennessee.
That's a rough circuit, man.
Surprisingly, at the time, there were several. There were seven, I think, between there at the time. And he even got T-shirts made up with, like, boxes on the back with the names of each one that we could scrawl out after we had been there. And he would have, like, strippers sign his shirt. And the front of it just said, I like titties. It was just a plain white shirt on the front. It said, I like titties. And it had all those boxes on the back. We started down in Paducah and headed towards Tennessee. We didn't make it to all of them. We finally made it to one that was in Union City. I don't remember the name of it at all, but it may have been the absolute worst. Beyond Club Erotica, beyond Foxy Lady, beyond all those.
Somehow this is worse than two double wides packed together.
Yes. Yes. Instead of like a velvet rope separating you from the stripper, it was police tape. I'm not sure that the police tape wasn't there for a different reason. But what, when it's all said and done, I don't know.
Can't waste a perfectly roped up crime scene.
No, man.
It's so stripper.
Yeah. So, at the time, I'm not drinking. I wasn't old enough to drink. I couldn't get into the first two places we went to because you had to be 21. I was only 20 at the time. And we had like eight of us packed into a Dodge Durango. So there were at least two of us riding in the cargo hold at all times. And since I was the youngest and most not willing to put up a fight, I just ended up crawling into the cargo hold the whole time. So we finally get to this last one. And a friend of mine whose name, and you're going to think I made this up, his name's Kramer. His name is Kramer Anthony.
Okay.
You think I made this up? His name was Kramer Hazadick.
How many people do you know named Kramer?
None. Except for Kramer Kong, who I went to school with in middle school.
Kramer Kong?
Yeah, it was a girl. She looked like a gorilla. Her last name was Kramer, and I called her Kramer Kong.
That's a dick thing.
Yeah, no,
do.
I was not a nice guy. I'm still not. But.
Fair enough. So he kind of wanders off at this nasty, nasty old building that is charitably called a strip club. And he meets a stripper. She doesn't have many clothes on. And
get out of here.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to that. Turns out she was not a stripper. She was just this gross girl wearing very few clothes inside the strip club.
I was hoping this was like a ghost story. Turns out she wasn't a stripper. We talked to the owner whose daughter died 20 years ago.
She was like, where can I pick up guys?
It was Large Marge. So he comes up to me, and he is just completely shit-faced drunk, and he's like, hey, what? Hey, this girl's into me. I'm like, you mean that woman standing up against the wall? And she had to have been in her mid-40s or later. Didn't have 3-4 teeth rubbed together. I mean... And he was like, yeah, man.
Gum job.
I haven't gotten laid in a really long time. I'm like, apparently. He was like, I really think I'm going to take her out to the Durango. And I'm like, first of all, it's not my car, so don't come to me looking for me. Why are you asking me?
Miller said it was okay.
Go get her, man.
He's like, you're sober. You should tell me if this is a good idea. It's not a good idea. He's like, why? You don't need a reason. Like, listen to me. I'm sober. She looks like a man and not even an attractive man.
If I'm a hot dude, we can understand.
He was like, are you sure? I'm like, yes. He's like, thank you for being honest. He wandered off. I lost track of him for about a half an hour. As we're leaving the strip club, he has her laid out on top of the hood of the Durango. Making out with her. He's got her shirt pulled up, like, up to her neck, making out with her. Like, they're not having sex. He just has her shirt pulled up and is just like... And it's funny because he's trying to stand up in a way that he can reach her, but he's kind of having to tiptoe. So you're watching him. We sat there and watched him for a good minute, like, trying to get a good 1 foot up on the bumper while he's steadying himself. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. And... that's probably the saddest strip club story I've got. Funny side note to that, they have a thing at Murray State when the sororities do their bid acceptance, when they, you know, get taken into the sorority, they'll all run from one side of campus to the other where all the sorority houses are. And on the morning of bid acceptance, a lot of fraternity guys will get up and watch as they run by and wave and hoot and holler for them. And I got up one morning and decided it was the running of the sororities. I was going to take a lawn chair out there to the Lambda Chi house, which was right near there, and just set up with a bottle of vodka and cheer them on and watch them. I wore the shirt. I had cut the sleeves off, but it's still very clearly red.
I was hoping you were going to say, I saw the woman.
Hey, remember me? Oh, your shirt was up. That's right.
She's now a Fidelt. So. But I had on the I Love Titty shirt, and I was sitting there drinking straight from a bottle of McCormick vodka. And the head of the English department pulled up, who was the sorority advisor, and she knew me because we worked together on stuff all the time. And she was like, hey, Sean, how you doing? I just turn around and she looks at me, her eyes get huge. She was like, are you having a good time, Sean? Yes, ma'am. I like titty. Good talking to you.
Nice. I feel like I should share my strip club story now?
Yes, please.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Since it's my first time on. So this is going to be something you guys get to look forward to if you're ever out in public with me. So note to self, right now, okay? You probably shouldn't drink.
He only goes in public when he's going to strip clubs.
So you're getting to know me better then.
Yeah. We're bonding well.
So my cousin and I, Rob, we went to, he has a farm out in Bloomington, you know, and of course it's a big college town, so they have quite a few girls that need to pay tuition.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Quite a few. Any girls that are listening now, they just tuned out.
All three of them. And trust me, they tuned out about 10 minutes ago. Yeah.
So we're good. No, we went. We decided, you know, since there's a bunch of corn in fields in Bloomington, that there's nothing else to do, so strip clubs seem ideal. So we went out there, and it was a pretty nice place, you know. Rob had to park the car because it's raining outside, and being the gentleman that he is, he, you know, let me off at the door, and, you know, family and all that. So I paid his entrance when we got into the club, whatever, and I'm sitting around looking, and across the room is this beautiful 3 foot 11 inch tall girl. And
I just, it's like I was scanning, like, acceptable height, acceptable height, acceptable height. Like, no. Okay.
I think we found your type.
It gets better.
You're gonna have to.
So I'm looking at her, and she is covered in tattoos from the bottom of her chin all the way to the tips of her toes. Okay. And she's like a nice C. Maybe D cup, mm-hmm. Huge, right? And her muscles in this girl's body are just amazing. She's just like really, really, really toned, and she can move in any direction. You know, she was a gymnast or whatever when she didn't have to pay for college. So she's like flipping around, doing all these things, and she's taking shots off of the dance floor there back that are on fire. And I'm like, this is so great. This is great. My cousin is going to love this girl. So he doesn't know. He's clueless, whatever. And my cousin's about 7 feet tall. He's a foot taller than
that's
I am.
Crazy, man. Oh,
so I sit down, right? And I wave her over. I'm like, man, I really want to get to know you. She's like, really? Really? Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'll give you $10, big money.
$10. $10 whole American dollars.
Fucking Hamilton?
To give that guy right there that just walked in an amazing time. I want you to do things to him that it's never happened. And she's like, what do you want me to do? I'm like, I just want you to devour this guy. And she's like, it's going to be a little more than $10. I said, I'll give you everything I got on me, which at the time wasn't much. And she's like, okay. So he sits down unexpectedly, and he's like, oh, are we going to get something to drink? He's like, thanks for getting me in, you know? And I'm like, yeah, we'll get something to drink. You're going to need it. And he's like, why? I'm like, you're going to love this, man. I got this girl coming over here, and a few minutes after she gets off stage, she's going to take you over there. And she did. She got off stage. She took him in the middle of the floor, not in the VIP room. I don't think $10 is going to get you access there.
She didn't take him back with the Fisher-Price chairs.
No. So she grabs his shoulders and jumps, and then her like thighs are on his head right now. And she goes all up and down him, all the way through his legs, all on his back, messes up his hair, rips off his shirt.
What the fuck?
I mean, it was the greatest time ever. I just got front row seats to the best entertainment I could get.
See your cousin again. I'll give you $10 to mug this guy. Done.
So he's like, he looks at me, gives me a look like death, you know? And then tips her, and she walks away. So there you go. That's what you guys can expect.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I wonder where she is now. I would like to go. I'd like to go see her.
Rygar? I guess we're 25 minutes in talking about ditties.
Let's just keep doing that. You guys can come back next Monday.
Just because you didn't appreciate this game doesn't mean we don't appreciate the game. We want to talk about Rygar.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I need to save stripper material for the next time I'm on in next year or whatever it is.
Dave, do you hear that?
Nope. Is it the sound of a 3 foot 11 woman?
Yeah.
Shaking down a dude?
smacking her thighs against cheeks.
Climbing a dude like a tree.
I think you guys need to invite her to the show.
I would love that.
We'll get a play-by-play.
I would love it.
We need to have a stripper guest host.
I mean, we are like a shitty Howard Stern. Like
the way he described it made me think of like a squirrel like climbing up and down somebody into their sleeves. Like, that's all I could think of.
It's pretty much like that, yeah.
Under his legs and around. Went up
like that Ray Stevens video.
The day the squirrel went berserk. Yeah.
Wow.
Miller and I know our fucking Ray Stevens.
I could sing that shit later.
I was like, the streak? No, I guess not.
Oh, he has so many gems in the Ray Stevens library.
Clearly. No, but I don't hear anything.
That's the stripper mauling a man Wikipedia train.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, actually.
It's a very specific train.
Yeah.
What does that sound like? Like applause? What is this? Yep. This is a PowerPoint presentation? That's good. All right. All right. You're right. I think that ushers in a little segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Miller, is this still your favorite segment, or is this fallen by the wayside?
No. All right. This is always my favorite.
All right, we'll keep doing it then.
Cool.
All right, guys. Rygar is a video game created by Tecmo in 1986 and originally released for arcades in Japan as Warrior of Argus, a.k.a. Arugosu no Shinshi. It is a scrolling platform game where the player assumes the role of the legendary warrior battling through a hostile landscape. The main feature of gameplay is using a weapon called the Disc Armor, a shield with a long chain attached to it. This was later ported to a whole shitload of systems, actually, the NES being one of them. And that's the version we're going to talk about, at least focus on. That came out in 1987.
I was three.
I was older, but let's not dwell on that.
I think my favorite part of that, the Dave Weeds from Wikipedia?
Yes.
Of Dave Reads from Wikipedia is listening to you pronounce the Japanese name.
I feel like I've gotten better at that, but I mean, that's just false confidence, I think.
But so you guys were both a big fans of this game. So what was your first experience with Rygar? What pulled you in?
I think my first experience with it was, obviously I was a kid when it came out. So I loved the game because it wasn't only just, it didn't seem two-dimensional. I know it's a two-dimensional game, but it didn't seem that way because you can go up and down, show actually the character's back, which other games at the time didn't do that. Yeah. You know, so you actually felt like you were playing something that was three-dimensional because of the way that they used the platform. It was great. So loved the Disc Armor, loved all that.
Disc Armor. Oh, you know, fucking Disc Armor.
Playing it now, obviously, you look back and there's things that I think they could have probably done better in the game, you know. But it was fun. Got to jump on the villains and use your disc to kill them, and you know, of course, then they had some the specialty things you could use, you know, like
your
grappling
magic, and the fucking tools.
Yeah.
Man.
There are tools in this game?
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't know? Because
I wandered around, I think, for 2 hours and found a grappling hook. Is that one of the tools?
Until last night, I just heard a monk in a cave be like, you cannot go further than this without the grappling weapon.
A giant man.
Yeah.
The giant man in the cave.
And it's only two screens away from where you start, but you just, for some reason, I did the same thing. When I played this game, I used to spend all my summers over at my grandma's house. And in her basement, we had our Nintendo set up, and me and my brother would be just playing Mario and all kinds of games. I don't remember how I came across this game. I think we borrowed it from somebody and started playing it, and I just completely fell in love with it. I don't know what it was about it, but to this day, I remember talking about it a long time ago when y'all started doing the podcast. I was like, oh, that was such a fun game, and I hadn't thought about it in so long. I definitely will. I know I've got you always say nostalgia goggles. I've got that really bad. I've got the deep feels for this game just because of that, because it brings back a lot of good memories of just being there and playing this game for hours and hours and hours. And it's funny when I think back on it, like the stuff that I know now, and a lot of it I only know because I did have to game fact some stuff. I don't remember ever using any spells when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know how that worked. I didn't know what the little stars and stuff. We'll get into that, but I didn't know what any of that shit was when I was little. I was just going through killing and jumping.
There's no explanation, though.
There is no explanation.
Yeah,
there's
you don't know what the fuck's going on in this game.
There's also no names for anything, although if you look up the game facts, everything has a very distinct, weird name, but you never know what it is from.
That's the, I think, one of the biggest flaws about this game is it would already, like, I like it, but two simple things that they could have done within the confines of the system was a map and just like a header of when you enter a new area.
Yeah.
Would have made a world of difference.
Yep.
Because, yeah, you start out, because you are Rygar, your world has been overrun by a guy named Lygar, and he's just sent monster. You don't see any other people except for that giant monk, and then I guess a god. He looks at the giant monk, only he has another eyeball.
Endora.
Yeah.
Endora, I think, is his name. You wouldn't know it.
Nope.
But I think from reading stuff, it's, yeah, his name is Endora.
So, yeah, basically, then you're going around, you'll see those little doors, and it either is a new area or him. Mm-hmm. And he'll either give you a tool, a cryptic hint, or like refill your life.
It's almost like they didn't think that the kids at that level would understand more, you know, or how to use interfaces or maps or anything like that. They just said, here's a game, play it, good luck.
Just throw your shields, fine. Go ahead.
You're good.
Well, but the other side of that is that Tyler mentioned earlier before we started the show is like there are times in this game where when there's a lot of stuff on the screen, like a lot of monsters and stuff, the game starts to really creep and slow down. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I wonder if they just couldn't put anything else in there. I mean, because they stripped it so far down from the arcade game to what it wound up being on NES, I wonder if they just maxed out what they could do with what they had.
Because of the enemies, I guess maybe if they could have like capped the enemies off, but they're endless. Like you just stand there and they keep coming and they keep coming. And depending on where you're standing, I've never had this much slowdown in an NES game.
And you can use that to your advantage, right? Because unbeknownst to me, you can level up in this game. Like that's like part of the game is that you get stronger.
Yeah.
And like I didn't realize it until I was like probably about an hour in. I was like, oh, I'm killing monsters like really easy now. And then I hit start and there's this weird menu that has like tone and I can't remember what all the terms are, but they're not like typical RPG terms.
Something makes sense.
And so I was I wasn't using a guide, by the way. So I was like, okay, tone, all right. And then like 30 minutes later, I checked back after killing some monsters. Like my tone went up. I'm definitely getting like stronger.
You're getting more tone.
Yeah. I am so toned.
I'm feeling tight.
Rygar gets buff as shit.
So what's that shit all about? Can you guys tell me?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially how strong you are.
And you have to have a certain score to be able to access new areas.
Now, the one lower than that, there's the tone, then the number right below that. That determines how many life points you have, how many hearts.
Okay.
So once you get like 500 of those points, you get another heart. Once you get 1250, you get another heart.
Yeah, I noticed I was gaining hearts because I think I got like 5 hearts at one point.
That's based on the second number, and I can't remember. It might be life. I don't remember what it is. But yeah, essentially, for everything you killed, you get like one of each or so.
And there's magic? Because I noticed like
you can get blue potions, right? Mind potions, and you hold like 7 of them for your spells.
Yeah.
You put spells in air quotes. What's that about?
Well, just on the right, you have the power up, attack and assail, and recovery.
Yeah, I saw that.
You select is whatever one you'll use.
I selected one time and it made a noise and then nothing happened. What?
Power up makes you just have a stronger attack for a short amount of time.
Okay.
Attack and assail, I don't even know what that
is. That's what all the game facts recommended to use that on bosses.
Yeah.
I don't know what it does either.
Essentially, it doesn't do anything.
It doesn't. It makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah. They could have probably done a little bit more than that, but it was interesting that they included those things because other games at the time didn't have another menu you'd go to use magic. You know, it wasn't something that was done.
Yeah,
and I didn't do my research on this, but I can't think of a lot of games that had RPG elements in it that wasn't a straight up RPG like that. I think that's kind of interesting.
Like Rygar, Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a lot.
But I mean, Legend of Zelda, I think to a lesser degree. I think you're right, but I mean, you gain more life and you got tools and you get stronger based on your sword.
This has sort of an experience point system.
Yeah, where you earn experience from killing monsters and get stronger for it.
Yeah.
So yeah, if there would have been like, if you would have flashed or something like that when you leveled up to give some kind of indication.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
But yeah, it was just very, very cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing about to maneuver through the world, of course you have disc armor, and I love disc armor. I have always thought disc armor was so badass.
What do you like about it?
I don't, well, okay, one, the cartridge art leaves you thinking something different.
I like the cartridge art a lot.
Yeah, he has like a fiery shield attached to a magic bracelet. Mm-hmm. So you think that's what you have, but then it's actually a chain that on a spiked shield that returns to you.
Mm-hmm. The best part about the cartridge art is the fact that he is, like, it doesn't make sense spatially because there's like a tree in the background. There's like this little armadillo monster climbing it, which suggests that that's where the ground is. And then there's Rygar, a legendary warrior, is in front of it, and like he's got his fiery disc armor up, right, blocking a shot. But he's also got his other hand in between his legs. He's vaulting off of like a garbage pail kid. there's just a really ugly bald head at the bottom of the cartridge art. And he's just vaulting off of it.
Garbage pail kid. Show notes.
That was one of the things I liked about it, though, is that you could actually jump on the. You know,
on the
armadillos and all that stuff. Now, one of the changes I probably would have made if I was creating the game is the armadillos with the spikes on them. Probably wouldn't want to step on those, you know?
Yeah.
that you can, yeah.
But, you know, and I think with the shield, I think it was just left up to your imagination more or less, you know, that's what it is, you know?
Does it ever block any, like, shots or anything like that?
No.
Because that's what I was trying to figure out when I was playing it. Because when I was playing it, I was like, why is it important that this is a shield? It's not.
It is a shitty shield.
Yeah, if you could throw it and deflect projectiles or something with it, that'd make sense.
Because it's, thought of it more of like a bladed yo-yo on a chain.
To be fair, in the arcade game, that might actually be possible. I'd really be interested to play the arcade game now, knowing, because when I played this before, I did not realize it was an arcade game and that it was so much more beefed up. Now that I've seen a video of it, I'm like, whoa. Like,
yeah, the arcade game looks fucking badass.
Yeah. It's fast. It's like right up there with Contra fast, so it's pretty speedy.
Let's see. The tools that you get.
All right, let's do it. I know there's a grappling hook.
There's a grappling hook.
And a disc armor. We got this covered.
3 hours to find.
But let's see. You get the grappling hook, your first weapon that you can either, like, once you find a branch, normally there are ropes that you have to use to go up and down. But once you get the grappling hook, you can basically from any surface throw it up to the next one or climb down.
What, right. To a tree branch?
Mm-hmm. Or there's like empty spaces in a mountain where it looks like there should be a rope, but there's not. You can use it there. There's some places that you may not even realize because it'll just be the end of the screen above. If you shoot your grappling hook up every once in a while, you can actually move up to the next screen. There's a couple of places where you don't.
Yeah, you don't know what. Just wander around for like 6 hours and then just start throwing shit up. And then you figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then there's the wind pulley, which I died so many times just trying to fucking use it.
What is it?
Because
I don't know what that thing is.
Once you go from the side screen to the overhead screen, you'll see these little like tree stumps with ropes.
I tried walking on those ropes a lot. Yeah, died a lot.
You have to have the wind pulley, and that attaches to it, and you can zip line across.
What, attaches to the rope?
Yeah. Okay. But making it attach, like, okay, because you'll be in the valley, and if you wander too far off into like these
the
dirt embankments, yeah, you're dead. That's it.
Because you can't swim.
Right, of course. And then
that disc armor is really heavy.
So trying to attach the wind pulley, like I would go up and like walk around trying to get like the beep to tell you that you've attached. Dead. Restart. Dead. Okay. Dead. Until you finally click.
Yeah.
And zoom across.
It's hard. Once you've done it a couple of times, it's a lot easier to figure out where that sweet spot is. But at first, it's really annoying.
There's a learning curve to the wind pulley.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. You get the suit of arms, the coat of arms.
The coat of arms is, I think that's one of the last. After the wind pulley, you got to get the crossbow.
Thank you.
Crossbow is the next one because then essentially you'll have areas where those two stumps are, but no rope.
Well, I found a giant dude in a cave who was like, "You need the crossbow to go further."
Yep.
And I was like, "Thank you. I wish you could tell me where that was."
And the guy that tells you that, that's one of the last places you go in the game.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So I made it really close to the end.
Really, you were really close. It's true. And then you finally, after the cross armor, cross armor. Well, crossbow armor, and then the flute, which looks like an ocarina.
Well, and the coat of arms, what that'll do is every time you... Everything has a purpose. I mean, the crossbow, you have to have the crossbow to go places. Mm-hmm. A suit of armor ups your defense. You get that from one of the bosses. You get that from the boss in the actual dungeon area, which I thought was one of the hardest bosses. Most of the bosses were... pretty easy, especially
if there are bosses.
Yeah.
If four of them.
Wow.
Well, there's...
Or five of them, technically.
Five, yeah, there's five. But yeah, I would sit around and just like kill stuff and power level, essentially. I mean, that's what I've done in every RPG that I've ever known. So I would go to the underground area and just kill snails over and over and over and over and over and over again until I get max health, and then I can just run through stuff. But the armor gives your defense, and the coat of arms, what that does for you is from then on out, whenever you go into one of the rooms with the big monk guy that gives you health, you get a health potion. You don't normally get that health potion unless you've got the coat of arms.
Okay, and then that's just like the Zelda red potion that you can use to refill your life later. Yep. Okay, and then you have the flute that has the... You only use it once to open the door to the final boss once you finally get that.
What do you do with the crossbow to progress? How does that work as a tool to...
Oh, like, there will be two tree stumps across a pond or something.
Yeah.
No rope, and you have to shoot the crossbow across it.
Mm-hmm. And you make the stump angry, or...?
Yeah.
Assume... Well, I mean, presumably the crossbow bolt that you're shooting has a rope attached to
it. Okay.
So...
That's as all crossbows do. That's what their form function is.
Rygar's like, why'd I get this fucking grappling hook?
Who needs it? I got a crossbow.
Okay, the bosses. The first one is a two-headed... You in the forest, you fight a two-headed monstrosity.
Tiger turtle?
Yeah.
It's like it's got two heads that are like a tiger or something, but the body's... Is it a turtle? I don't remember.
It's something like a turtle standing on its hind legs.
Yeah.
That does sound frightening.
It's weird looking.
Yeah.
It's a chimera. Let's go with chimera.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then the spider, which I thought was the hardest boss.
I thought that was the easiest.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he would just do a circle. You just hit it every time he does a circle. If he drops, just move out of the way and he'll just start doing the circle again.
That music was fucking intense on the spider fight. That would have had to be my earliest introduction to dubstep. Because the music is fucking crazy and helpful.
Let's stop for a second to talk about the music. This is some of the best NES music ever.
I really like the music.
The music is fantastic. I still, to this day, remember the music and think about it from time to time.
And I think you've got something. Like, I didn't play the arcade game. I don't know if the music is the same in the arcade game. But like when you said earlier, you don't know if they had just had so much data on the cartridge they couldn't fit more in.
Yeah.
Like they do a wonderful job of like the songs aren't very long. They're just like really short melodies that are looped. Mm-hmm. But they do a good job of making those short melodies interesting enough that you don't get tired of them as you're progressing through the stage.
Yeah.
So I was playing it, that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, this is pretty nice. They actually like thought about that instead of just stringing some shit together.
It's really profound too, as you like switch through when you go from regular play to a boss and it switches it up. You're like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah. You know like, something's up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and even just going from one area to the other, it's not like just a variation on a theme, like the same sounding. It kind of varies widely the kind of music and the kind of tempo and that's actually going on. So I think it's one of the best parts of the game.
Blows Mario Brothers out of the water.
Let's see. There's the plant boss that's up on a ledge. You have to climb to and hit and fall off and then avoid it and throw your grappling hook back up and climb up. And
is it in it. Is it in a pot?
I wish.
Is it like in Carmen Sandiego when you get too close and then all of a sudden the potted plant falls down?
Best thing is if it was in a pot, it'd be something out of like Monster Party. The bosses do look very Monster Party-ish.
Oh, yeah. I really wish I got to them.
See, there's the snake demon that you fight, just a big knot of snakes floating there, throwing fire at you. That's the dungeon.
Yeah, that's the dungeon one. I found that one to be really, really hard. Like, I had to go get all my magic saved up, because to use recovery, you have to have 7 magic points saved up, which is the most you can have. To use the power attack, or the whatever it was, and attack and assail, it only cost like 2 or 3, but you had to have all 7 to use recovery. So I had to go get a life potion, because I'd got the coat of arms before the armor, which I think you can do them either way.
Okay.
So I had a health potion and a recovery spell just to get through that fight.
Have you played Dark Souls, Miller?
No.
I think you would like it.
No.
Based on like everything like you're saying that you like about Rygar, like I really think you'd like Dark Souls.
Like grinding and then just having your soul crushed.
Yeah, and then being like there's an order to things and you need this and then you need this. Because like Rygar's a super complicated game. Like I couldn't figure out what the fuck was going on. And that's, I feel like if I were playing it as a kid and I had like a summer, like a couple weeks to devote to it, like I could start, to understand it and figure it out. And that would be really fun. That's kind of how I feel like Dark Souls is.
See, I feel like if you find the grappling hook early, if you can find it, it's not that complicated. Like that, there's a lot of maps, but they're all really closely interconnected, so you can't really veer that far off the track. I mean, it's not like you've got this big expansive open world. If you go on the first map to the very end of it, there is a door you go in, and there's one of these big monk guys who says, once you hit Garlaw's Plains, go west and then north.
Right. I found him.
All you need to know is that when you get on, of course, there again,
you don't know what the fuck is Garlaw's
Plains. Yeah, that was the problem I had.
You make the assumption.
I don't think it says Plains. It just says Garlaw's, right? So then it's just like, is Garlaw's a guy? Is Garlaw's a place?
Which street does he live on?
I need my fucking Garlaw.
Please, monk, tell me.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you go there, he'll tell you that if you know where to get, because there's only two or three doors you can actually go in at that point, go up there, go left, go west, go north, there's the grappling hook. And everything starts to fall into place after that.
Yeah.
But figuring that out, unless you're really listening to these cryptics, and some are just complete bullshit hints, you're not going to catch it.
I sure as fuck didn't. I did not. I was like, I read them like over and over again. I was like, I don't know, man. I guess I'll just wander around until I find something.
And again, it's like Tyler said, if you'd have had just a little box on the top that said, this is where you are.
Yeah, that would have helped a lot. Well, and a map, definitely.
Even like, you know, as a kid, because who knows, when you're a kid, did you really know where north, east, west, south? You know, would you know all that?
I mean, if they would have had
if they would have had that compass up there show you, like when you're talking to them. You know, that would have been, oh, I go left. You know,
right. Right. Yeah. I knew they were directions. Like, I got that much figured out.
Something.
Let's see. I mean, I feel like 80% of the challenge in this game is just knowing where to go.
Yeah.
Like, I watched runs where people would beat it in 30, 40 minutes.
Damn.
Just because they knew exactly where to go. And then it was no problem.
Speaking of, like, speed runs and stuff like that, has everyone at this table beat the game? Have you guys beat the game?
Yeah.
Miller, you have?
Mm-hmm. I beat it last night.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Yeah?
A long time.
Man, I'm really impressed. I feel like this is like a difficult game. And maybe it's just because I don't know my way around it. But
well, it's easy if you have two computers set up and one is the YouTube run of it and then you're playing it on the other screen.
That counts.
It makes it a lot easier.
That counts.
So Tyler's telling you cheated.
If you can figure out where you need to go, the boss, like the regular monsters and stuff, it's not hard. There's only a couple of places. There is a glitch, though. There's one part where you're basically in a forest and there's water underneath you. Uh-huh. And there's little caterpillar monsters that will shoot stuff at you. They're really hard to get around and kill because as soon as you get near them, they're going to shoot you and you can't jump on top of them. If you get them to the very right hand of the screen, walk left just a little bit and then come back, they'll have disappeared.
Huh. Is that the only way to kill them or?
Not the only way to kill them, but it's the only way I found to get rid of them without losing at least a heart or two trying.
So everyone cheated.
Well, no, I like that you did that, Tyler, because like if you didn't do that, there'd be so many games that we just sat here and been like, all right, we're going to talk about the first level of this game.
Would have taken me weeks to do if I just straight up just tried to do it. Well, like 1 week of just like, fuck this, and doing something else, and then another week of actually trying to figure it out.
This would be a bi-monthly show.
And then the last boss, Liger, half lion, half tiger, Liger.
Mm-hmm.
That he's like a lion head, snake arms, and like a crocodile body, and
shooting stuff out of his hands.
So magician. He was okay.
Yeah, he was pretty tough too. I still think the other boss was tougher. The snake boss. Yeah.
Does this game have a cool ending?
No.
Really. I mean, it's a Nintendo game, so I know the answer is no. But
you get like a Sunday school kind of painting of like a dove and a rainbow.
once again, peace has been returned to the land of Argul or whatever it is.
All right.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's pretty good for a Nintendo game, right?
It's something. Let's see. And then one thing I thought was interesting whenever I was doing research, because you guys found the arcade game, that there's the sequel, Rygar, The Legendary Adventure, PS2, 2002. And I remember playing it, and then when I was talking about it the other day, I was like, well, yeah, it's kind of a ripoff of God of War, because it's three-dimensional. You have your disc armor. You're smashing enemies and pots and stuff like that and figuring out puzzles. God of War didn't come out until 2005.
Hmm.
So if anything, God of War took this Greek adventure and the idea of it, and then just added more sex and violence, and then turned out a AAA title, kind of ripping off Rygar.
Interesting. So, yeah, I didn't even know that existed until we started talking about doing this episode.
I didn't even know what Rygar was. I literally thought it was a space shooter until it sounded like a space shooter. It was like, all right, you're in a Rygar and you're strolling through the galaxy just shooting aliens. That's like when you guys are talking about it. I was like, really? This sounds like Castlevania.
It's Castlevania-esque.
Plays a little like it. Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of when I started playing it. I was like, this is a Castlevania I don't know my way around.
I've got some achievements.
Okay. Sweet. What you got?
See, the first one I have here is the floor is lava. And you unlock the floor is lava by bouncing off turtles 50 times without touching the ground.
How many one-ups do you get for that?
One.
Okay.
See, and then the other one being Link's hook shot. And that's just get the grappling hook. And they call it what it really is, the hook shot.
I've got two. Miller, you helped me with one. I typed it in my little tablet here as you were talking.
Well, what did I do?
My first achievement is called Mist Silk Cape. You may appreciate this.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Final Fantasy XI reference, my friend. I
can't, son of a bitch, forever.
In order to unlock Mist Silk Cape, you have to use that glitch you were talking about to clear all the caterpillars off the screen.
Mm-hmm.
The other achievement that I've got here.
I got that achievement.
Let me look this up. It's called Wookiees Don't Live on Endura. And in order to unlock Wookiees Don't Live on Endura, you need to meet Endura, who you guys say is a character in this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one with three eyes. Okay, yep. Great.
I've got three. Heartthrob, which is just get all the hearts. So you've got to sit around killing shit for a pretty good long time to get all the life points, to get all the hearts. Chatty Cathy, visit all the monk people.
Cool.
Which is completely not necessary, but some of them do give you hints that will help out.
For this achievement, it is.
Yeah, for this achievement, it is absolutely necessary. And Rope-a-Dope, which is die trying to use the wind pulley, which you will.
Jason, any achievements?
I have no achievements.
It's okay. It's all right.
I usually don't.
I'm an underachiever.
That should be an achievement in and of itself. Underachiever. Don't get any of our achievements. See, you just came up with one. It's perfect.
Hey, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had fun today. I've had fun talking about Rygar. Mm-hmm. I'm not completely done with it. I know you want me to ask you about beards.
Oh, okay.
Because I just want to say that we haven't really talked about whether or not, I mean, it sounds like you guys like this game. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't want people to feel like I'm shitting on it because I couldn't figure it out. That's just because I couldn't fucking figure it out. I saw value there. Mm-hmm. And this is a game that, like, as a kid, and honestly, today, I would play and try to figure out if I had time to do it. Because I really think a lot of the things are cool, and I liked the switch between the side-scrolling and the overhead. Mm-hmm. And I usually like a game where I know I can figure something out, and I'll keep grinding at it until I do. Because we kind of got some shit on Facebook. Some people were saying that we crapped on Mario Paint. I really don't think that we did.
I don't think that we did
either. And if we did, I don't want that to be the impression. I actually thought Mario Paint was fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And we all agree, all four of us were like, it should be on the list. So, I mean, we don't think we crap. Like, Lion King, Sparkster, that's crapping that on is, a game.
Yeah.
us, like, Mario Paint, maybe a little lower, but just be on the list. It's pretty good.
Star Wars.
Star Wars game. All that's shitty on a game.
All three of them. So I just wanted to get that out of the way because, I mean, you guys love this game. If absolutely. I had more time, I would definitely devote to it.
I like it more now. Now that I, yeah. Especially because I think as a kid, like I said, I don't think I understood any of the menu options. I didn't understand any of the spells, what they did. Now that I know that, I'm like, oh, I can go through and play it again and like be better at it. Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I played it just so, at the very least, now I know it's not a fucking space shooter. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've had a good time today.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a really good time. Mm-hmm. I can't believe we're already at 56 minutes.
Yep.
So let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
How much is this game on Amazon? This is up for everybody. I want to know how much you can buy this game for used on Amazon. We'll do Price is Right rules. Tyler.
See, I feel like I need to set out because...
Did you look this up?
No, I have the price tag still on my copy of the game.
That's fine. Let's go with that.
I can give that one.
That'll be the house. If you want to go different, we'll use that price as the house price.
So I'd say on Amazon, I bet my copy is a little marked up.
Okay.
So I'll say $250.
$250 from Tyler. How much, what's the price tag say on it?
$399.
Okay. Jason, you got a guess?
I was going to say $455.
Okay. $250, $455. Miller?
I'll say $5. I'll go high.
All right. This is close. I like it. All right, guys. Actual retail value of Rygar by Tecmo for the NES at the time of this recording used on Amazon is $2.78. Wow. Tyler, wow. You take it. Although I'll say...
Just because I had the cheating factor of the...
Your investment thing, did not hold up.
That's true.
Worth it?
Yeah.
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 I think it's worth it.
Especially, yeah, like 270. Yeah. Yeah.
And how long did it take you to beat, Tyler?
I bet I spent 5 hours on it last night.
What game can you buy out there for 5 hours for? Well, I shouldn't say that. There's probably tons of NES games. And
an actual hard copy of a game and not a digital game, that's a lot harder to do. Like a digital game on Steam you can do, but like, yeah, something you can hold in your hands, it's harder to find something like that.
$3. It's crazy.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a beard that just summed up how you felt about it. As you know, that's how we rate things.
It's a very precise scale.
Exactly. In fact, when the waiter comes by and says, "How was your meal tonight?" You say, "I'd give it a fiery red beard with gray streaks." And the waiter knows exactly what you're talking about.
He nods and understands.
How tall is that stripper, Tyler? Black beard with with peppered brown flakes. Okay. All
nice.
Right.
Nice.
What kind of beard would you give this game?
I would give this, from the Hercules movie, I would give it Zeus's beard, but his beard is shaped like a very complicated maze.
Okay. Yeah, because this game is a big maze. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, Tyler, what kind of glasses would you give it?
I had to do some research on this.
Good.
The man who brought eyeglasses to the Greeks is an inventor named Alhazen. So I'd give this Alhazen's glasses that he made and presented to the people on the Greek council.
Educational show.
Let's
throw that in the show tag. We're like fucking NPR on this bitch. I love it.
Yep.
Anybody call us?
We got some calls, man. How many do you want to do? We're running late.
Oh, we got to do some calls.
Yeah, we got to do some calls.
Okay, we'll do them. While we're waiting for calls, we got a little contest going on. Can we talk about the contest? In the Final Fantasy Football League, we've been getting a lot of home-drawn cocks. And
all the super bad.
Yeah, and I think it's... No. This is so much better. What I want to do is I want to open this contest up to all our listeners. Because, sure, we've got a good core in that Facebook group or in that chat, but there are some really good listeners and some loyal listeners who aren't into the Fantasy Football League. So I want to open this up to everybody. Here's what you do. I want you to draw a cock. And just to give you an example of some of what we've got, a lot of these are just cocks that are like dressed up in costume. I don't want to give any of them away because I want you to like come up with your own. Come up with your own cock and costume.
Don't steal cocks.
Right.
Don't steal cocks.
And you can email them to me. That's dave@tadpog.com if you want in on that action. I say in probably about a week, I want to pick the winner. And what I want to do is I want to actually make shirts of the winning cock. that we can put up for anyone who wants to buy. I want that to be the first
Tadpog shirt. Is a fan-made dick.
It's just a hand-drawn dick. It's a cock, because the hand-drawn dick contest is going to be in about a month.
Okay.
Who is the judge of this contest?
Are you volunteering? Do you want to be it?
But I really feel like this is right up Nicole Nance's alley.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, she's volunteering.
You're in, Nicole.
She's tribute. That's fine.
You know, I was going to use that as a nice segue as I searched for the calls that we had, but I really got into that message, so I wasn't able to pull any out. So yeah, send those in. We'll get them. We'll look at them. Okay, I don't know about this. All right.
About this first call?
Yeah. All right, first call.
Hey, it's me. First, just get it off. I wanted to say I'm sorry for how I reacted last time. I'm just under a lot of stress. I can't wait until we get this all finalized. I know we've got to get going to court to get our son. Shit!
All right, that call is from 580. Thanks for calling 580. I hope you are able to get your car out of that river you drove into.
I don't know who this caller is, but he's establishing a pretty solid history.
And by solid history, you mean dark as fuck. He's establishing a on an FBI watch list.
Do you don't know who that is?
No. No, we have no clue who
you
that
said
is.
It like no. You know who it is.
No, I just...
No.
Nobody's going to call and do that without a reason. You fuckers need bodyguards. You need to hire security. And I mean yesterday.
This will be my first and last show.
Jason, you want to give your address on the show?
I feel like I'm going to walk out of Tad Fox Studios. There's going to be a man in a bikini with a cigar and a assault rifle.
Wearing a pig mask.
You the one that cursed the audio boy?
We got some more from 580.
Miller, get out here. He wants to talk to you.
The saga continues.
Oh, man.
Okay. Hey, it's me again. Sorry, I'm just a little stressed over the situation. Thanks to you, I just got out of the hospital. It's okay. Just 8 stitches. But I'm not worried about that right now. Again, I just wanted to apologize for how I reacted to the last phone call. Waiting to go to court. We will get this finalized where our son will be staying. But, and I apologize. I've just been thinking about you again, looking at your pictures and just remembering all the good times that we had, how we met going camping, how we both lost our virginity to Taryn. Filthy little slut. And I just, I wish I could see you again, hold you and grab you. Turn you around, kiss the back of your neck, squeeze your hair, run my fingertips along the inner side, all the way up to feel the warmth of your panties. Oh. You know I like that.
Thanks, 580.
Giving us just enough Tadpog information to keep us interested and not think you're just crazy.
I really, I was like, man, this poor bastard's got the Rahi reference, Taryn. Lock the door.
Gee, I like to think that it was Taryn. The voice modulator.
Call Taryn. Who all's virginity have you had?
Did we fuck some guy in a tent? Me and you. You remember that?
In the third call, the trilogy from 580.
Oh, God, man.
Another one.
Release your tadpoles on Tadpog.
There we go. There's our first going wild audio call.
Was he like masturbating with a zither? I don't understand what it's like.
Man.
Thanks for calling 580.
This guy is either really genius level funny or you fuckers have problems and I'm never coming back. Stripper Stories is officially over.
Who are you, 580? Who are you?
Yeah, this is going to turn into
that should be our Tadpog podcast.
Yeah, that's it's going to turn into an Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, because those noises I expected to
Well, like the weirdest, like here's what sucks about that call is like, okay, I had listened to these beforehand and I saw the third call from 580 and I was like, and that's the area code. That's why I referred to him as 580. And Google Translate was just going crazy on that last one because I was like, the translation is hello, hi, hello, hello, hey, and bye, bye, sucks it, hello, bye, hello. And I was just like, I don't think I can listen to this Charlie Manson.
Oh, man. See, I didn't even hear that, but it makes sense if he was whispering that.
Oh, my God.
Yay,
this is not okay.
So I'm done with the show.
God, and that's the other thing. It's like... It's fun to just imagine this is one of our friends we haven't heard from in a long time fucking with us, but this guy may think Taryn fucked him. He may be some crazy guy from Minnesota who just thinks he had an affair with Taryn. Taryn, you need to call. We need to talk about this.
We need your complete sexual history so we can comb through it.
By area code.
By area code. Yeah, I'm sure you were at a Dave concert up in Montana or something.
I like to think that was Dave Matthews. He just called.
All right. You have a palate cleanser call?
Yes, I was just about to say. I want one more call as a palate cleanser.
Oh.
Dad Pog, this is Fishless J of iTunes 5-star review, Mario Paint, Meg Fan, Fame. The shit out of that. Just calling to say that I'm super stoked about the Mario Paint show. Glad Meg could work her way on. And a little advice from Dave. Since you are a graphic design guy, and I am a guy trying to get into graphic design, do you think that most companies would accept Mario Paint screenshots for, like, you know, work that they can look at? Or would that be a bad idea? I don't know. Chill.
Thanks, Fishless Shay.
Dad Pog.
Oh, liked it so much. I wanted to hear it again. I'm glad that Meg could be on that show too, because I think she made the show a lot better than it would have been.
Mm-hmm.
Just us talking about.
She leveled out the weirdness of us drawing dicks.
Right. And we got so many pee stories in that. That was so good. I feel like we wouldn't have gotten all your piss stories if she wasn't on there. I feel like you specifically saved those for when she was on the show, and I like that. Yeah, absolutely. I put all of your Mario Paint drawings into your design portfolio. And if you really want to impress the creative director, upload all of those to like an angelfire.com account. And if you could like hotlink, I don't know, like the mailbox, like our favorite is the GIF of the mailbox that opens and then a letter flies in it. That's the universal symbol for email. In all seriousness though, if I saw Mario Paint entry in someone's portfolio, like if it was just one, like at the end, I'd be like, all right, this guy. And like the rest of the work was good. I'd be like, all right, this guy's pretty cool. But if it was all Mario Paint, I don't know, man. I just don't think.
But it's really, really good.
It
Mario
is really
Paint
good.
Stuff.
Like how good?
Like you would be like, man, I wish I could do that kind of stuff in Mario Paint.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I do wish that I can do wonderful
But we're
shit
talking like top five Mario painters in the world.
Yeah, well, then absolutely put it in because it means that you're going to like translate, you're going to transition to like Illustrator and Photoshop like no one's
ever. Yeah, you say that, but what if they're like, that's all they can do?
No.
Like if it turns out they have some kind of like, I'm sure there's like an not autism, but where you're really
savant.
Like they're just a savant. It turns you put them in front of a computer with actual design software, and they just start banging their head on the table, screaming.
Well, I mean that's how
give
you
this man
do
a paycheck.
It.
Either way, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, really, you're definitely getting a job if you're doing that shit.
That was good. We needed that after the trilogy.
I got another call about. I got another cringeworthy call about Taryn. You want me to play
it? Yeah, let's do it. Throw it up here.
No, I'm just kidding. Here, I haven't listened to this one yet. This might be the same. This might be Fishlips Jay again. If it is, I'm sorry.
What's up, Dad Pog? I am calling in as requested to give you some true facts about the clitoris.
Sensei Tony.
So it turns out that your mermaid probably has a clitoris because all animals that have vaginas have clitorises, clitori, or however you would like to pluralize that word. And since mermaids have boobies, they're probably a mammal, therefore they have a vagina. All animals that do not have boobies do not have vaginas, so things like birds have cloacas, and things like fish have typically what is referred to as a vent. So there you have it. Your mermaid has a clitoris, so keep finding that.
I don't know, man.
I also have a question for you guys. If you guys could have one magic spell that you knew, either you could say it's an innate ability, it's any magic spell that you want, what would that be? All right, guys.
That's an easy one.
Hmm.
Thanks, Sensei Tony. He wants his title to now be Sensei since he's Splinter in the parallel.
That's fair. That's fair.
All of his mermaid facts seem to make sense, except for the fact that, you know, mermaids don't exist. Mermaids are obviously mammals. Well, in so much as I suppose Godzilla is a lizard. I mean,
I think
he's
Tony
a mutated Godzillasaurus, for what I've been told.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's your cryptozoology fact.
Okay.
I think Sensei Tony was calling us from 580's car. It's like every other call we've gotten from
the trunk. The trunk of 580's car.
The last part, like, please help me, was just cut off. Yeah. Here's all these interesting clitoris facts. Please help me. Spell or spell-like ability, Tyler? I mean, are we allowing wish and miracle and stuff like that?
No.
Or?
I guess maybe you want to keep it to, like, video games instead of tabletop games.
Spells and video games?
Yeah.
All right, sure.
I'm hard-pressed to not say life.
Okay. Not life 2 or life 3?
No, fuck that. Just life. Bring back humans, one hit point. That's it. That's all they got.
They should just be glad to have the one.
Yep.
Telekinesis for me.
Yeah.
Just the ability to pick stuff up and move it without having to stand up.
Because that's your biggest problem.
That's really my biggest problem. Standing up and moving. And if I want to go to that, I can just lift myself up and move myself over there. That's an off. I don't understand how people will say, like, they'll fight about whether telekinesis or the ability to fly is better. Can't you just use your mind to lift your own big ass off the ground?
How Jean Grey flies.
So that seems like that would be an obvious choice. But I've heard it debated before.
Because I assume maybe the ability, doing that, you probably can't achieve the same kind of velocity you could as having the ability to fly.
Maybe, yeah. How fast do you
I think that's the only, that's got to be the only real difference there.
So like the Human Torch can fly faster than Jean Grey?
Yeah.
Probably, stands to reason.
I would say, yeah.
How does the Human Torch fly to begin with? Let's start there.
That's a good question.
You know more about the Fantastic Four than I do.
I mean, is that...
He's just magic. I love how Tyler's like, Dave knows a lot
Dave
about
knows
comics.
Magic.
Magic, dude.
Aliens.
Radiation, man. Does some crazy shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to look into that. I want to know. Or I'll ask that on Reddit, on Ask Science Fiction. They have a really great subreddit where you ask things like that and they have to answer within the fantasy.
Well, I mean, is it not plausible that that's just something else? He can create fire and control
fire.
And he can fly.
Yeah, like I think it's like maybe, a second power.
Yeah, maybe it just doesn't have anything to do with the fire.
Because that's like Invisible Woman. Because, I mean, she can make herself invisible, but she can also like manipulate force fields and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So. I almost think we should call that Splinter or the Sensei guy.
Sensei Tony?
He'll know all the answers. He's got all the answers.
That's a good. That's a really good point. If he's not chopped up in a river somewhere.
R.I.P.
The more I think about this, the more that's really freaking me out, this 580 guy, because it's not like he has to know Taryn. He just might have heard her on the show. He might have just, oh, there's a girl. Like, why he decided Taryn? I mean, Nicole's been on enough times that here's a girl with a pretty voice that, you know, why he didn't focus on Nicole. I don't know what Taryn did.
Tyler, do you hear that sound? Sounds like Miller being added to a list somewhere.
But Jason, spell like ability?
Ooh, that's tough. You know, I think that I've always wanted to be invisible, you know, or have the ability to be invisible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be kind of a cool. It's not going to really make me a lot of money or anything like that. It's not self-gratification at all. It's just, well, it could be.
Yeah, it could definitely do both of those things.
Let's talk about ship clubs again. I think being invisible is a pretty radical magical ability.
That's a spell in Final Fantasy VI.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with, since we're doing video game specific, I had to look it up because I couldn't remember the name of the spell.
Final Fantasy III.
I'm going to Vast Rel Poor, which is Gate in Ultima Online.
Okay.
It's so much better than like Gate in D&D because I always feel like in D&D you're always like bringing fucked up elementals and like alien type creatures through a gate. Like this is just straight up like you want to get a bunch of fucking people from one place on Earth to another fucking place on Earth. That's what I'm gonna do. And because I also like the image of like a strip club, this just gate just appears and then like five dudes just like stumble through and sit down in sweatpants.
Yep. We're the gating crew. We just go strip club with the gate spell.
Final Fantasy is probably the game with the most magic, don't you think? I mean, from video games, I think.
Well, like the most spells to choose from?
Collectively.
It's got a shitload of spells collectively.
Across 15
yeah.
games, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And they cheat and use the same spells and just name them other things.
I was legitimately pissed being little. I grew up on the electricity spell being lit.
Oh, right.
So then it being bolt. I was like, lit sounds so much cooler.
And then Thundaga.
Yeah.
I like that system. I think that's nice because
instead of the two and three, the yeah. Thundaga.
Yeah, I like yeah, it.
The whatever you
and
do.
And the Aja.
Yeah. Don't use Thundaga on Fumbaba because he is he is resistant that's to electricity.
That's true.
Pro tip. You want to do more calls? We got more. We're running long.
Yeah. We're running pretty long. Let's save them.
Whatever. I'm here. I want to hear him.
580 called five more times.
He's actually waiting outside.
If he calls back, please call me so I can listen to him. I want to hear that.
Okay, absolutely.
I want to have, like, we need to contact somebody at the FBI and get, like, a voice analysis of this.
So what you're saying is he's your problem.
Excellent.
I said we.
See, he sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it doubly bothersome because like it's doubly bothersome. It's there. It's like I feel like I know who that is.
So I think that you guys should probably start picking some of these things up. Like, let me tell you what I did to one of my friends. His mom told us that when he was a kid, he was afraid of Jell-O, right?
Okay.
So I decided that we were going to get boxes and strategically place them in places that we knew he'd be. So they'd be like boxes of Jell-O in his car in the morning, boxes of Jell-O.
Like he was just afraid of the box. Like not actually like prepared Jell-O, but like just the box.
Just the box, you know, because he's older now, so he's not afraid of Jell-O anymore. But he's like, it's not funny. I know it's you guys. No, man. It's not us.
It's fucking Bill Cosby.
Hopefully I've given 580 some ideas.
The Jell-O bandit.
Let's start putting boxes of something all around.
What's this club of tissues?
580, is this a box of cups that you get in my car? I don't know, man. Not mine.
Well, just Taryn. Well, just Taryn that belongs to
you. Funny story. You can edit this out. I know you're running long. Nah. But a story about Taryn. I think you've told the story before about how she is deathly afraid of clowns.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I were working in the same office when we were in high school up at the courthouse. And I found out she was afraid of clowns. And just I was just like, oh, that's crap. There's no way she's that afraid of clowns. They're clowns, for God's sake. It's not that bad. So we had one of these time clock systems where the time card kind of fit down into a long envelope and they were all in like a little row.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to pull it out, clock it, and stick it back down in there. So I took out her time card and pasted a picture of, I think, the guy from It to the bottom of it.
Pennywise
mm-hmm. from
good old
It.
Tim Curry.
And I don't know if she remembers this, but she went up to the time clock, yanked it out, screamed at the top of the
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and I was great. Like, she really is afraid of clowns. I guess she's not a damn liar.
Well, I'm not going to have sex with her now. Damn it.
Pretty sure it wasn't a high chance of that to begin with.
All right, before I start wrapping things up, mm-hmm. I feel like we should thank, we have 1 5-star review, mm-hmm. so I want to thank Massacre for giving us a 5-star review.
Yep, thank you.
Incredibly helpful. We very much appreciate those.
Well, he agreed that he's going to help your porn habit.
Yeah.
In that 5-star review. So that's good.
The Terry Crews and Carmella Bing podcast.
All right. I hope you'll invite me to guest host.
If we get them both to come on, I just listen to them all day. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We will be talking about IGN's 21st ranked game, Super Castlevania 4.
Boom.
See, while you're there, don't forget to subscribe, give the show a 5-star rating, write a review.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a game you want us to play, if there's an episode you know we're doing and you want a special guest host, I don't know if you want to give us weird calls and have us not call the police, give us a 5-star review and mention that in the review.
Are we legally responsible to call the police?
He hasn't threatened anybody yet. So,
thanks for listening, everyone. Like Tyler said, we are going to be back next week. We're going to be talking about stuff. Maybe we'll go an hour and 20 minutes next week and talk about the game more than 15 minutes. I don't know. I don't know. But hey, if you're not into that, that's fine. We can just do this again. I kind of like
it's another shit Monday. It's
yeah,
fine.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's good. In the meanwhile, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can find us online. We're at tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. I don't know what the hell is going to be up there this time. We'll figure it out. You You can also find us at Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. I might make an album on the Tadpog page that's just all the cock drawing submissions.
Well, I submitted your Mario Paint picture. And somebody reported it and had it removed from Facebook.
Oh, you posted it on Facebook?
It was the Facebook link that I put in the show notes.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that shit got taken down.
You know, someone reported that?
Apparently.
Okay. All right. We need an investigator because the Tadpog Facebook group is private, which means it was somebody an inside job.
This is a question.
Someone got fired for that image, I'm thinking.
Are there any amateur animators out in Tadpog Nation? I would love to see somebody make like a stick figure animation to the 580 calls.
Oh, man.
How awesome would that be?
You can also find us on Twitter. We are at Tadpog_podcast. Thanks for everybody who's retweeting. We get more each week, which is great because it helps spread the word about the show. So we really appreciate it. You can call us if you want. If you really, really want to, you can call us.
What if 580 is Tyler from the future? I mean, this is going to be plausible. Like, what if something happens and him and Meg have a falling out? They're having a custody battle over the baby. And he's calling pissed off.
Interesting.
He was spending all his time out here jacking off with us.
Interesting.
Man. Am I stuck in a time loop and I can only call the Tadpog number?
You can call us at 270-883-2555. If you keep it under 3 minutes, that would be awesome. And if we like questions a lot. Uh-huh. So if you have a question, ask us a question. Thanks for being on the show, guys. Jason, it was nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
And Miller, good to have you back.
Glad to be back, as always.
Well, let us know when you want to be on again, and come on.
Very soon. Final Fantasy III I want to do when it comes up.
18 weeks.
Man, that I feel like that's going to be a... We need another soundboard.
Oh, yeah, it is really hot.
It's like three, maybe?
Final Fantasy II. I know that's...
Oh, that's actually pretty soon.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that.
Probably have a easier time getting into that. Because like, I feel like on three, we're going to need like another soundboard. We're going to need like 18 more microphones.
Special show where 1 to 2 to 16 people talk about Final Fantasy VI.
It's gonna sound like if the devil were conducting a symphony. It's just going to be just voices.
I will fight people to be on that episode. Like, I'll pass on Chrono Trigger because I know it's really popular. And I'll pass on the next Zelda game. I can't remember. Zelda's number one. Yeah, I mean, Final Fantasy III is still probably one of my favorite two games of all time. So
we have four microphones.
I will beat Josh's ass.
Two of those are accounted for. So I think we should have a fight. I think everyone who wants to be on those episodes should come over.
Jesse Stewart style will just draw a chalk circle, and whoever's the last one standing in.
I will prove once and for all that I did not get my fair shake in the Tadpog guest host deathmatch.
All right, fair enough. And you are a black belt, so we're going to have to handicap you
somehow. That's true. I'll get drunk. I don't know. That's not going to help.
It's just going to make you stronger. you can fight with your glasses off.
That would be bad. I cannot see.
I guess that's it. Until next time. Oh, no, wait.
Nope.
What's that? You got a question?
Our theme song.
Mm-hmm.
So who is it? I told Jason about earlier. I was like, there might be a quiz.
He pulled out his notes. I like that you let your boss cheat.
Yep.
No one else would be like, before the show.
Everyone else would he fuck over. I told my boss the answer beforehand.
So your theme song, you want to know your theme song. And you said it was by Justin Bieber.
Yep. We paid $4 million.
This is the most expensive podcast
to
produce.
Baby be our intro and outro.
Can we get Megalixir to do Baby, Baby, Baby by Justin Bieber? That would be fantastic.
I want a chiptune of Baby, Baby, Baby. That's a Justin Bieber song?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Chili's song?
That's the only one that I can name.
Wait, you say that like you didn't know.
Baby, Baby, Baby?
I'm more familiar. I'm a bigger fan of his third album.
But our theme song?
Moves Sycamore Drive.
Moves by Sycamore Drive.
A link to that track can be found...
Miller?
In the show notes.
Where are the show notes?
Tadpog.com.
Boom.
Nailed it.
So until next time...
tropical Capricorn.
I didn't tell you about that. Yeah, you didn't tell me.
Yeah, and apparently that shit's copyrighted, so whatever.
If I've ever seen someone with a face was like, I'm definitely in the midst of a cult. It was it was your face right then. Because you were just like looking around there like, oh, what the fuck happens now?
Now I go out to my car where 580's waiting for
me. He's under your car, man. He's going to cut your ankles.
This is a cult. All right, we're done. Time for the orgy.
Everybody's car.
What kind of beard would you give her titty? I don't know. She's pretty old.
A gray beard. A wizened gray beard.